that time off. Y'all been off 2 weeks? Just right after Christmas, right? After the new year, right? We haven't been to class since then, right? Wow, y'all been off a long time. Father, we thank you for this class, that the Holy Spirit will help us to learn more about ministry and about your ways of doing things. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn your Bibles again to 2 Corinthians 1:21. As the subject we're dealing with is one of the most important subjects about ministry, one of them, and that's the anointing. And we also have described or defined it as one of the three factors of the supernatural. You have to know how to operate in faith. You have to know how to operate in the anointing. And you have to know how to operate, and I won't say another word, and flow in glory, in the glory of God. But the anointing has a lot to do with ministry. The anointing, for lack of, it's so grand. The anointing is so grand, you can't fully define it. But it is the anointing is the ability of God to accomplish things supernaturally. The ability, you won't find that subject, that definition anywhere else. It is the ability of God to accomplish things supernaturally. It is a gift from God. That's why I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 1:21. We studied the scripture, but now he was established us with you in Christ has anointed us is God. And I said in one of my classes, notice he said, God has anointed you. And so it's so important. You know, Jesus' ministry pointed out to us that he told it dependent upon the anointing. And he gave us the panorama view of the power of the anointing in Luke 4:18 and Acts 10:38. John wanted us to have some concept of the anointing in First John 2:20 and First John 2:27. He tells us different aspects of the anointing. You have unction from the Holy One. And then he said the anointing that abides in us, what did he say about it? Do what? Teaches us how much? All things. So you see, the anointing is so important in ministry. For you're dealing in ministry, you're dealing from a spiritual perspective. All right? It's not a natural perspective. It's not a sensical perspective, but it is a spiritual perspective. And so the anointing reaches over into the spirit world and plays a divine advantage on you, because God knows you need that. If you're going to minister his word in any aspect, he knows you need a divine advantage. So that divine advantage comes through the anointing. So the anointing is God doing his work through our humanity. See, he's channeling that, he's going through us. And it is the ability that God gives the believer. Now the believer, if themselves are anointed, but I think ministry packs a stronger and a more defined anointing. Watch what I'm going to say now. For government's sake. Because the whole system has to be governed. And it's no use of God putting you as a pastor and you don't have no greater anointing than the first five rules. No, God has a divine plan. And so with that in mind now, there are different dimension of anointing. All right? With that in mind, know this, that dimensions of anointing will cost you. I'll get further into it after a while when they give the symbols of the anointing. But the higher you desire to go in anointing, the bigger price you got to pay of submitting yourself to the things of God. The anointing is to accomplish the work of the ministry. And it's this warning here about the anointing, because this is where people get in error. I'm going to make a whole statement here now. The anointing is to accomplish the work of the ministry, not to be used for personal or selfish motive. And that's where people get in trouble at. You know, so on the other hand, the anointing is used to consecrate, identify, and prepare a man or woman to manifest God's glory. Let's hear that again. Let's hear that again now, because this will serve you well in the time, days to come, when you're out of school, you're out in ministry. The anointing is used to consecrate, identify, and prepare a man or woman, watch this now, this is a powerful statement, to manifest God's glory. You're not going to just manifest God's glory, you know, just reading the Bible. The Holy Spirit is the master of manifesting God's glory. And so I would say this way, if you permit me, the anointing is having part of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's powerful, man. Now, what we run into sometime, class, is performance and entertainment in the pulpit, all right? And, you know, we're dealing with our praises, too, at this point. But gifts and talent without the anointing will never bring glory to God. Gifts and talents without the anointing will never bring glory to God. So just from this first segment here on defining the anointing is God doing his way through our humanity. But the anointing is the ability of God to accomplish the work of the ministry. Also, the anointing has the ability to consecrate you. Also, the anointing put an identity on you. Also, the anointing prepare you. See, I'm just repeating it in a different way. And then, nothing wrong with having gifts and talents, but they must be wrapped in the anointing. Okay? Manifesting the glory of God. We have not known much about manifesting the glory of God. Actually, if you don't know how the glory of God works, the last few months we've been able to apostolically get into it, the threefold, the faith, the anointing, and the glory. We have tried to learn how to get out of the way when God want to manifest at a greater dimension. See, the glory is a greater dimension than the anointing. The glory is a greater dimension than faith. Why? Then you too. Why? Why? It's God himself. He's come. You have summoned him by preaching and teaching in an anointing with faith. And so he come now to assist you at the same time and overwhelm you. At the same time to get you out of the way. Let me do the job. And so, class, we must know the difference between, and very few people know this, the difference between anointing and impartation. Sometimes people think they're synonymous. Sometimes people think the anointing is the impartation is anointing. So we're going to rightly divide that. An anointing is given to each believer specifically by God. Now, a portion of another's anointing can be imparted to another portion or to many other people. I think, I don't know how many Moses laid a hand on to impart his anointing to. You know, I don't know how many people I've laid a hand on to impart parts of my anointing to. You don't get it all. You're a part of it, because that's all the time a student become equal to the teacher. They forgot where they came from. God will never give it all to you. But a portion of another anointing can be imparted. The word imparted is very crucial. That's father and son, spiritual father, spiritual sons and daughters, following your father and listening at your father and whatever, and it being imparted to you all the time. Now, the anointing is direct. impartation is transferred from one person to another one. The anointing comes directly from God. But when you're imparting a part of anointing that a person carries, it comes by impartation. See, the anointing comes from God to man. But the impartation is given from one person to another by God's will. You see the difference, class? You see the difference? All right, y'all listening now. I'm talking, but y'all make sure y'all listening. Because this will serve you well. And so don't let no man lay hand on you suddenly. That's very, very, and the church got a tendency to just, you know, I guess they don't know no better. Just get in every line, don't care who laying hand. This is a laying hand line. Let's get in. No, don't do that. I sit and watch me. I don't move. So impartation take place due to a direct intervention of the Holy Spirit. He'll work with one who's imparted. He take the gift of one individual and give a measure of it to others. Watch what I say now. Who desperately seek it. So you cannot respond to anointing without respect for it. And another thing is, let's look at another aspect of it. If you don't recognize an anointing at a great dimension, you won't reverence it. And so you won't put yourself in a position to receive it because you don't know what it is. See? And especially if there's a rare anointing, you don't see it every day. You know, you got to have spiritual eyes to recognize a spiritual antenna to pick up that this is another wave. This is another level, or this is another dimension of anointing that have been placed in the earth realm for us. So I can't just be taught this anointing. This anointing has to be caught. So I don't care who else don't want to go, I'm going fishing. You follow what I'm saying? I'm going to catch this thing, man. I'm going to get it. Sometimes you got to lead the crowd. Yeah. One of the saddest things is that one be in the presence of an anointing and don't recognize it. Almost come with a familiar spirit, you know. Just amen, you know. Just no. It's important that you pay attention. I can pick out anointing walking in a room. I know. I can pick out an anointing. When I first saw my dad, I said, "Wow, this man has something I want," and it cost me, but it paid off. Mm-hmm. Now hundreds and hundreds. Listen. Hundred and hundred was in the same seats I was. Didn't get it. They became familiar with it. They thought it, watch this now, you listening? They thought it was only for him. And they tried to make him a god. You notice how Paul had to keep fighting the people off him? They kept trying to make him a god. They wasn't recognized that God placed that there for them to get. Now, impartation takes place due to a direct intervention of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is involved. How God, notice, see, God is involved. Notice Acts 10:38. You know what Acts 10:38 says? Acts 10:38 says, class, come on, get to it. Acts 10:38, because you've seen how this thing worked, how the anointing worked, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Who went about doing good and healing all who was pressed of the devil. So when you're functioning in anointing, the anointing at a high enough degree has no respect for what Satan has done. Satan cannot sift, he cannot stop the anointing because he's not anointed. Now, what we're anointed with the Holy Spirit. Satan is anointed with his own spirit. Which is a losing spirit. The anointing we have is a victorious anointing. It's a victorious spirit. Yeah, one whoop the other. Okay. Now, gifts or powers can be imparted through books. I read a lot of books, thousands of books. Preaching, teaching, prophecy, God's word, the laying on of hands, and even anointed cloth or clothing. I was just meditating on the bedside one morning, preparing to push money coming to a deeper dimension in the heart of the body of Christ for manifestation and protection. You heard that? For manifestation and protection. Because every time Satan sees us about to go over to another dimension, he brings something to stop you. But the Bible talks about in Acts 19 how God wrought special miracles through the hands of Paul. See, that's an indication of an anointing in his hand. Okay. He worked special measure. Now, when we talk about gifts and powers and the anointing being imparted through books, preaching, teaching, prophecy, God, word, the laying of hand, even anointed cloth, that made me thought about Paul, because his son apron and handkerchief out from Paul with the anointing on it. And you lay it on a portion they receive through his anointing, the deliverance. But this statement I'm going to make about the anointing, and I know a little bit about the anointing. I've pursued the anointing for many years. I know a little bit about the anointing. This exchange can also take place by personal association. If you hang around the anointing long enough, you'll start catching it. See, while we tried LTMA, we're talking about lighting the torches of ministry around the world. These ministers' torch, they're not going to get their torch lit by excuses. Man, make a breakthrough. Man, my wife and I made us some breakthrough. We weren't eating high on the hog, but we were there. Then God always blessed us. Somebody came, took the ticket. I said, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you, I never argued with nobody. I said, you can't have it. I never was modest about, oh, that's all right. I said, because I knew God was working, you know. So let's look at Psalm 89:20. And there's ingredients of the holy anointing. Ingredients of the holy anointing. In Psalm 89:20, I found my servant David with holy oil. I have anointed him. See, I've anointed him with holy oil. See, the anointing pertains to holiness or to Holy Spirit, to holy power. Put you in a holy position. Are you hearing me? It the anointing separates you from the crowd who wearing the same kind of clothes and carrying the same kind of Bible. But once you begin to function in the anointing, then you can tell who's who. I have found my servant David with holy oil. I have anointed him. I found him and I anointed him. David was anointed. Yeah. Now, we're going to look at some ingredients of prophetic symbols. And I want to take my time because each one of these ingredients, you've heard of them. Myrrh, M-I-R-R-H. It's a bitter herb with a sweet aroma. All right, that's about the plant itself. But it signifies, now watch this, it signifies suffering, pain, anguish, distress, trial, tribulation, persecution, and death. It represents the price you pay for the anointing. It signifies suffering, pain, anguish, distress, trial, tribulation, persecution, and death. It represents the price we pay for the anointed. It is a bitter herb with a sweet aroma. You got to go through the bitterness to get to the sweetness, man. That's what I'm trying to tell you. See, many people desire the anointed. How many of y'all desire the anointed? Strong, strong anointed, I mean. Yeah. When people fall down and you don't even touch them, get healed. Many people desire the anointed, but are not willing to pay the cost to have it. Pay the cost to have it. Well, I thought it was free. No, it cost something. When you get to heaven, you talk to Jesus. Well, look, did I get saved free? Jesus said, boy, I said, I'm going to talk to you. All the hell I've been through for you, and you just ask me, did I get it free? So many people desire the anointing, and many people, now I have to go on the negative side of the road for a few minutes. Many people just too trifling for the anointing. Just after they get it, they're not going to use it with their trifling self. They're just TV babies or something. They just don't. No, you got to stretch out. Notice in your Bible, Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. I thank the Apostle Paul, who was a highly anointed messenger of God. He shares two factors here with us that I believe will increase your anointing in your lifetime. Are y'all awake there at your house? You're at your house, right? You can be watching television and looking at me too. Paul said, I behold your order. You remember that? Then Philippians 3:8, as we talked about, the anointing will cause you something. Say the anointing will cause me something. Now, the importance of the anointing, I cannot, I keep saying 43 years. My wife said, no, we've been married 43 years. And the first year, you wasn't all holy. Says 41 years you've been in ministry. I got that straight. In Philippians 3, 8, yet doubtless when I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That voice shows the price. If you look at the 10th voice, here it go again, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. So there's a certain amount of you have to die for a strong anointing. See, you had to get out of the way for the anointing to flow. Are you following me? You can't really copy. That's one of the things I'm going to say about money coming at his church. You can't really copy money coming. You can't mimic, because it's covenant. You see, now I will completely dig this year. The Lord is telling me some things, because I have the battle of God people to understand what God doing for them. All right, let's look at another cinnamon. Like cinnamon roll. But it's symbolic, but this is symbolic in the anointing. Listen to what it represents. It represents firmness and stability. You have to have firmness and stability to operate in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So it relates to Christian character. And fundamentals to operating in the anointing. Cinnamon represent firmness and stability. Then you got C-A-N-E, can, or calamus, C-A-L-A-M-U-S. That's a long, straight reed with green and red coloring that smells a bit like ginger. I'm just giving you these things that symbolize the Holy Spirit and tell you what they mean. It is associated with the gift of the Holy Spirit and divine authority. Now, in the anointing, pastors, apostles, prophets, whatever office they're in, that anointing creates a divine authority. because it bespeak that God the Father is present, the Lord Jesus is present, that the Holy Ghost is present, and that they're using that instrument, that man and that woman who are operating in the anointing. See? So when you talk about a bit like ginger, it associated with the gift of the Holy Spirit and divine authority. It said this spice is indicative of the anointing flowing in us when we submit to authority. See, you got that in Matthew 8, where a man understood authority because he was submitted to authority. Now, we found, I have a few passages in here, we found that a lot of times people don't want to sit long enough. They don't want to sit. I don't know. I said, man, I said under my pastor. You know, I could have been critical at time, but I wasn't stupid. You can't pray and be stupid too. You're not praying. Now, I cannot pronounce this one. C-A-S-S-I-A. Call it what you want. It is a sweet smelling bush of yellow flowers. Just give you the symbolic of it means to bow down out of honor and reverence. To bow down out of honor and reverence. It represents prayer, praise, and worship. All three of those will ignite aspects of the anointing. Prayer, praise, and worship. Then this is the number five. This fifth one I'm going to tell you about. We all can identify with it. We used it last week. Olive oil. Olive, just playing over olive oil, prayed over. We had oil flying everywhere last week. I asked Dan where's oil was. I thought he wasn't doing it. Dan showed me his hand full of oil. He poured it. He poured it. It's wetter than I said, good God Almighty. This oil was extracted from the olive tree. Now, olive oil, it represents the Holy Spirit. So here we see that the anointing has two characteristics. One, it was a tangible substance that would be applied with a cloth or by pouring from a pot or a jar. And then two, it was transferable from one person to another. Now, in talking about the anointing, you have to know that you're set apart and consecrated for service. See, that's something Jesus knew. How God anointed Jesus now. When he anointed him, when you're wearing an anointing, it is in the process of consecrating you and setting you apart for service in another dimension. See, sad to say, some call, generally call, but never function in the anointing because they never submitted to anybody who walking in the anointing to let them know there is another dimension. The oil of the Holy Spirit anointing was used to anoint the tabernacle and everything in it. Moses them used the oil so that these things could be identified, consecrated as holy and prepared for service to God. Now, if you look at Exodus, and I'm not going to write down Exodus 30, chapter 30, verse 26 through 30, you'll see that. Executing that type of anointing. Now, they're real strict about the anointing. You know, you talk about the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. When they talk about, you know, people on the outside, priests go so far, and then The high priest go in the Holy of Holies. Now, we all in the Holy of Holies now. But when Jesus died, that curtain was cut that all men are open, is open to us. And so our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost now. But they were very, very, very reverent. And sometimes people who got out of order, it was a king trying to take a priest's place, he died. And then that man messed around and touched that ark. He died too. You can't, man, listen. And God ain't changed that much. Let me tell you how much he changed. I'm the Lord, not changed not. So, I mean, we under this grace, and these guys trying to preach all this super grace. You know, a lot of apostles are ending up in hell. You could be wearing these offices and not consecrating yourself and let God. I ain't going with all that, man. So when they anointed this, not knowing this, anybody couldn't walk up and, you know, like we walk up here and touch this. No, you didn't do that in the Old Testament. No, Lord, you drop dead, they'll take you out of here. See, no one could touch an instrument or utensils unless he had first cleansed himself. Because this cleansing is what provided him to stand safely in God's presence. What? This cleansing. Thank God for the blood. Yeah. I'd probably be dead. You'd be dead. You and Nana and everybody else dead, you know. But God, the blood put us in a position that Jesus already touched it for. And in Exodus 30, chapter 17 to 21, you'll see that they had to be clean for the stand, touch anything. I just said it, but today we must first be cleansed or sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. And this is so important because I went a long time didn't know this. And receive his righteousness. I think, boy, when I first found 2 Corinthians 5:21, I said, my God. I didn't understand what righteousness was, but I had something. And I kept messing with it and finally got a hold of it. And receive his righteousness through faith before we can enter into God's presence. So we are able to enter into God's presence like we are is because of Jesus. Then after that, God then bestowed on us his holy anointing. What he did now? He set us apart or consecrate us by giving us his power and gifts through which we are enabled to carry out his will. Wouldn't be for that. Wouldn't be for the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't be for the gifts of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit or the leading of the Spirit. Huh? We wouldn't be able to carry this job out. You can't carry it out by might nor by power. But it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. So we have to understand the factor of ministry, the factor of the studies in this school, they are spiritual. They're beyond any book we use it, or any pattern we use it. You can get in problem by brainstorming. That's natural. For the church, you got to do a spiritual search. You know, we had my staff brainstorming. But that's over now. Because I said, oh, Lord, that let the devil in your brainstorming. You got to have a spiritual search, and you got to get a yeah or nay for you implement anything in a ministry. You know, you can't follow the fad. You can't let the government of the world run the government of the kingdom. It's supposed to be the other way. Yeah, yeah. And I found out, you know, I'm giving you a little hint. We have let the world, almost took the money world over. We got to take it back. Because in this world, you got to have some money to have some respect from anybody. Y'all don't want to talk to me tonight. See, and that's what we're going to do this year. We're going to start taking the money back. Man called me about this boy that I talked about. I'm not going to call his name tonight because I'm through with it. I'm letting him go ahead on. But he had him in his church. Now, he called me before he had him, I believe, but I don't take calls yesterday. You know, I wait a while, and I called him back. Then he was talking to me about the boy coming to his church, and I told him, well, no, this is why I said that. But then in the conversation, I heard he had been there. So I said, well, hold up. I said, he already been there? He said, yeah. He said, he came through. He said, I see 40 people bringing $1,000. Now, class, much as I've been teaching this thing, I ain't never saw 40 people bring $1,000. Isn't that something? But every time he go, he see people bringing so much. And so, you know, I just went on and talked the conversation, but I mean, I can't help you now. He already been there. See, I had to correct him, he said. He said, when he said that, I jumped up and I said, wait a minute now. Don't y'all move through emotion and start bringing money up here. But then he said in the same breath, some of them brought the money. Well, you already got the whole energy. Well, that's good. You already got it. See, he got a familiar spirit. So something going to happen if you got any people not trained and desperately financially and think this the big bag in the sky just to open a hole. They're going to get that out. Now, you can't stop no way. You're a pastor or nothing. You can't stop them. Yeah. You don't let them type of ministry in your ministry. Right. Right. You got people at different level. Yeah. You catch trouble here, though. He'll catch trouble in this church. He'll leave you up broke. Unless I give him something. Yeah. But you ain't never worry about that. Yeah. All right. So he set us apart or consecrated us by giving us his power, his gift, through which we are able to carry out his will. We've got to remember what it's for. In this cleansed and anointed state, then we are prepared to receive his glory. See, you don't just receive God's glory. God's not going to manifest his glory. Somebody not clean and prepared to receive it. Are you with me? Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom you also trust, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believe, you will seal with the Holy Spirit of promise. See. And then God will let you, because you're sealed, he'll let you enter into his presence. Cleanse, seal, prepare. So the anointing, listen to this because this is powerful. This is very simple but very powerful. In the position that we're in now, I guess in our circle you can call it. I mean, you know, we're all the body of Christ, but every circle is different because now we are pursuing to put ourselves in a position that the supernatural can manifest. Right? Okay, yeah, y'all, one or two of y'all. And so this statement is very important. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is a deposit for receiving God's glory. See, they go together. But if you don't know they go together and you don't know how they go, you don't know how to make a transition from the anointing to the glory, you're going to interrupt the higher power. So what we're having in school and in my ministry, both local and traveling, is to get people to understand faith, anointing, and glory, but how to make a transition from faith to the anointing, from the anointing to glory. Now, in what I'm studying now, and I hate to get off in this, boy, because it's going to be, but what I'm studying now is we're trying to operate in faith without covenant. And so when you're operating on faith, it's all on you. But faith came from a covenant statement. The Bible is a book of covenant. So faith, so the covenant placed you and God in partnership. He's the senior partner. So when you making a declaration of faith, or when you're making a move of faith, you have to be covenant conscious. not just faith conscious. I just told you how to make another move in your life now. See, the word of God is the covenant of God. And I just heard a church say that they don't teach the old covenant. All the covenant belong to God. You get deep and get out there and try to be different, but you better join back in with the body of Christ and teach everything. But I would like for you to become covenant conscious. Whatever you am, to move in the spirit, to move in the supernatural, to move in the power of God, to move in the glory of God, to move in the ways of God, you have to have him aboard properly. All right? Now, let me give you a way. Let me get off a little bit and give you this. I'm going to give you this. Let me give you a way to stay covenant conscious. And you're going to find it throughout the Bible. All right? So you're praying, you're believing God for something, or you're making a confession of faith. You see it in the word and you want to receive it. To keep covenant conscious all the time is three words. God is faithful. That locking into the covenant more than anything else. If you look at 1 Corinthians 13:10, where he talks about temptation, the second statement said God is faithful, and then he tells you three things God will do for you that you can activate the covenant. See, he's not going to activate the covenant for you. But once you activate the covenant, he's there with you. Yeah, you talk about presenting your spirit, your soul, and your body in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 class, in the holy and sanctified. Then the next voice said, the 24th voice said, what is it? Faithfully, he also will do it. That's covenant talk. So throughout the Bible, you have covenant talk. So I think we came to the faith span or the faith age and operating in faith, confession, and then void ourselves of the reality of the divine connection that we have through the covenant. None of the promises of the Bible are no good without the covenant. Without covenant, in Romans 9:1, you talk about your conscience bearing witness with the Holy Ghost. That's covenant consciousness. I dare you. Just go back now. You might be believing for some stuff, and you might be, you know, for your ministry. Well, shut it down when you're praying and when you're making your confession, when you see it in the scripture. God is not a man. That's another covenant statement that it should lie. See, all of this strengthen your faith soul, because now you're keeping God on the scene with you. And now you can, you put him in a position in covenant to hold him to bring it to pass. It's not a contract. But you can renege on a contract. It's a divine agreement. And that's what he said. Oh my goodness. You realize what you're hearing? You realize what a leap of anointing, what a leap of faith, what a leap of the glory you can step in by just hearing that? You're aware of the word covenant, but we left it. All right, how faith come? Faith come through covenant. Romans 10:17 is bringing faith through covenant. So faith come by hearing by the word of God. That's covenant. See, God will not work without a covenant. All right, class. So I was talking to three young men today about 40 minutes about this. It was sweet communion, because the covenant, the divine partnership that God permitted us in on to run his kingdom. My goodness. I don't know if the church really realizes who she is, or the believer realizes who they are. What a divine position we're really in. And it's enjoyable. Help you make it say, oh, they rub better. No, it's not rub you. You rub out there because you're by yourself. Jesus pointed out in Luke 4:18, I love that voice. My dad said that's the text he used every time he went in, Luke 4:18. Because I found this out too, this truth out many years ago. Some people won't know you are anointed unless you tell them. What did he do in Luke 4? What did he do in 4:18? He's telling them. Listen. I mean, it's so dull they can't even catch it. So this is what I'm able to do because I'm anointed. You see what I'm saying? Some people ain't gonna, you can move in the spirit and they think you're just the other preacher. You saw three more last month. You number four. Hallelujah. So you stop and tell them. What that does, what it do, what happened when you tell people you're anointed? Now you got to really be anointed. You just go around, I'm anointed, nothing happened. But when you tell people you're anointed, it increased their expectation. See, you know, Captain Kruman used to flow across the stage and say, the Holy Spirit is here. You know. And he said, we don't want to disturb you. We don't want to grieve you. All of a sudden, the power come in the room. I sense things coming in right now. I might use that myself, the Holy Spirit. great dimension of anointing, man. Respecting the Holy Spirit. Not grieving, not questioning him, not resisting him. Letting him know he had the ball. Roll it whatever way you want to go. Hallelujah. So, yeah, we have Luke 4:18. Jesus pointed out, I'm anointed to heal the sick. I'm anointed to cast out demons. I'm anointed to preach the gospel. I'm anointed to perform miracles. And most important, the anointing is to exalt Jesus. We are not anointed for selfishly motivated nor personal beneficial reason, but for others. Now, you've heard one of my prime statements the Holy Ghost gave me in my progressing the body of Christ into their inheritance. I didn't come to get money from you, get money to you. Now, when you got a charlatan, they're doing the complete opposite. But yet, it's so dangerous because people fall for it. You see what I'm saying? And so what I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be clearing up and begin a characteristic of how not to be dumb. When men and women use their anointing for self-promotion or dishonest gain in order to satisfy a personal need for fame or possession. Uh-oh. Now that's a statement there. You know. Because these people who do this, many of them are anointed. Many of them have a gift. But the gift gone AWOL. And they're using it they're using it by the direction of people and not the Holy Spirit. They're letting somebody else use them, and they don't even know they're being used. And right after that, I'm going to read this to you. I want you to have this, Claire, because I really want to cut you with this tonight, because I want you to always remember that I told you this. When men and women use their anointing for self-promotion or dishonest gain, in order to satisfy a portion of need for fame or possession, their end will be painful. Their end will be painful. Now here's why we have to, for lack of a better word, I don't know what it's worth, stockpile anointing, to get as much anointing as you can. You know, that's what I'm hearing. Because the world today is full of people, watch this. The world is full of people suffer from insecurity, fear, depression, sadness, bitterness, loneliness, tormented by wicked spirits. Their lives are empty, aimless, and they need someone to break the stronghold of Satan in their lives. So, you know, Isaiah 10:27, right? Someone whom God can use to deliver them and give them hope. You just can't be a minister reading the Bible. You got to have something. Get people set free, man. You know, I was preaching tonight and just, I turned this way and he said, Watts. Watts. I said, what? Watts being removed. Y'all remember in the meeting? Well, you know, it had something happen. I know it had more happen. You know, I didn't push it. But I heard that, so I just said what I heard him say. Now, in studying the anointing, you have to understand there's two kinds of anointing. There are generational and mantles. Okay. Generational anointing is transferred from natural or spiritual father and mother to their son and daughters. It says, whenever a mentor or disciple relationship is established in time, the anointing is transferred from one generation to another, as from Moses to Joshua, and as from Elijah to Elisha. Now, I think that one of the grandest things that we have said, but my class had over 300 people in their class. I just mentioned it about having this class of generational salvation. I heard the words, just like I heard money coming, laying on my bed, generational salvation. Well, by being a student of the word, I knew salvation from a different perspective of just going to heaven. I knew many years back, Mr. Schofield, in the Schofield Bible, opened my eyes to the real definition of salvation was healing, soundness, wholeness, preservation, prosperity, etc. And so I know generational salvation is to rescue by revelation people from the hand of the enemy and the hand of this world system the way it's going. And so I'm having another one Sunday evening. You know, I just, because it went over. They're on the internet. They're texting, and young people are talking about how much impact it had on their lives. How simple. My granddaughter walked up to me, and she's 14, I think. I don't want to miss her age. She says, Papa, it was so clear. And getting them trained for to use the internet and not let the internet use them. Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah. So we're transferring this anointing. So the anointing also represents a mantle. A mantle. Now, this is what a mantle. Our spiritual covering and protection. Wow. In the Old Testament, a person anointing was sometimes symbolized by his mantle. In the case of Elijah, who threw his mantle on Elisha. And what was it for? To signify that he would succeed him as a prophet. That's for his king, write it down, for his king, 19 chapter, 13 through the 19 verse. And then 2 King, that bad studying partner, 2 chapter, 8 through 15. That Elijah, how many years I studied that? I believe that happened to me and my dad. I really believe it happened. Yeah, I said stuck with it. You know, I just stuck with it. And I'm thankful for the day. It made my ministry more fruitful, more peaceful, and I'm not afraid because I know what the anointing can do. And I know sometimes you got to face something. You know, see, sometimes you got to face something, but don't be afraid of it. It also means in the spiritual realm, talking about mountain now, glory, kindness, lordship, excellence, nobility, authority. I know I'm going fast. Strength, essence, and great courage. It also means in the spiritual realm, glory, kindness, lordship, excellence, nobility, authority, strength, essence, and great courage. Now don't forget that anointing also represents a mantle, and mantle is our spiritual covenant and protection. Now, it pointed out that Jesus carried two mantles. The mantle of deity, which is his glory. None like it. Philippians 2, 5 and 7. Now, when the Bible talks about, as another thing came up in today's revelation, having this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought himself not, thought it was not a robbery to be equal with God. Well, a revelation after I began to study the covenant, that's covenant talk. The reason he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because him and God is one. And we who walk in covenant relationship in a new birth, we are one with God. So it's not a robbery to be equal with God. Don't mean we on a, the don't mean that we're God, but we have the right to all that God has. Any revelation, any strength, any supply, any manifestation, any demonstration, any of his creative abilities, because of covenant, it belonged to me. So why should I live like a worm telling a poem? Yeah, right. You catch it after you go to bed tonight. You know. No, rise up in your rightful place in covenant. And may the Father permit me to say it. You are God's property, and God is your property. He don't mind it. He said, I'm yours. My God, how can you fail there? I think one of the major problems is we do not recognize who we connected with and how strong is that connection. He permitted it. God permitted me to be blessed. Why not be blessed? And so he got the mantle of his deity. You know, he was a man too. And the mantle of his humanity, which was the anointed. Don't miss that. See, the man deity means he was God. But he was God and man. But what brought him back up to the level of God was the anointing. I got that, boy. See, what brought him back up to the level, he was a man, but what got him back to functioning like God was the anointing. So he took off his mantle of glory to carry out his ministry in his humanity. But yet, as he walked in the anointing, he could activate that glory he had before he took on humanity. Meaning as we operate in the anointing, we as humanity can activate the glory. Right? Right? Now, I'm going to have to use myself here, okay? You know, I really don't care what you think. I'm just trying to share something with you. I know this for a fact. Many more know it, but I'm just going to share something with you because I'm about to say something, and I think I really need to use how God has set my ministry apart locally and worldwide, okay? Now, also, there are special mantles given by God and placed directly upon certain men and women to carry out a specific mandate. See, that's what you got to recognize that. You know, you just can't do this. I ain't call his name. I need to get the old boy and tell him he can come on back home. I mean, he thought he watched me, then he break off from the group and think he gonna go do what I was doing. He soon come back in and say, man, I made a mistake. Yeah, you made a mistake. You sure did make a mistake, because God got to send you out there. Now, this one I want, let me see, because I want you to have this, but let me catch the other part to make sure. All right. Many mantles have been abandoned in the fivefold ministry in the fivefold ministry, in music, in worship. I wonder how. You see, many mantles, we talk about God gives special mantles. Many mantles. Now, I got a girl here now. I talk about it. I talk about it too much. But I want her to take these praises over. I shut it down. I don't want everybody singing. I want her to lead them. Just pull them. Just be up here sometime. You don't even know what the song is. Just work them out. Pull them till they get to understand it. Because what you're going to do now, if you start trying to grab song, you're not ready for it. You're just not ready for it, man. See how she functions. There's a matter on her. Y'all pastor was at the... Yes, sir. Y'all never went to another man. You just got to do it. I call her that girl. I'm not thinking about, you got to, but I'm talking about a mantle, man. When that mantle there, you just don't care. You just do it, man. Just do it. God gonna hold me. Ha, ha, ha. Let's go. Darnell said, man, I don't know what she going to say. Then she told Darnell, said, I'm going to tell you something else. He said, though. She told Darnell, go ahead. Stop. I'm going to start off. You finish. Darnell said, what I say? She just say something. The Lord's going to give you something. And the Lord gave it to him. Give it to him, But Darnell walked up to me. I was at home. He said, Dad, I never enjoyed praise as much as I am now. Because it's a dimension. Now you got those who will bark. We got to deal with them. They got to shift. You see, somebody can bring a shift in. I walk in a crowd of ministers. If they pay attention, I'll shift them. Not on my own ability, but there's a mantle on me.
Right.
And they'll find themselves walking in another dimension. Well, there they are right there. They walk in another dimension. These guys are not regular guys. I'm going to tell you right now. You're not regular pastors. They got the apostolic on them. They know how to move in the glory. And it's, we study learning. See? And so, if you're going to be over something, people rebel at change. I'm trying to talk to these pastors, man. But if you're over something, you got to be over it. And the one who has to get in line, get over it. Learn. Pay attention. Catch the flow. Or we're going to have the same old stale service. Same old, same old. And God breaks it up. God, sure help me. He always sends somebody, He got certain people around me now that watch out for me. I'm just blessed, man. The girl who cooked for me, I had a major chef come in town, and I was going to hire him. And he make it so pretty. Boy, it's pretty stuff. And I actually bought some beans. And he would look at me like I had a dream. So I started thinking about this, So I called my girl who's now, I call her my chef. She wear a white jacket. I called her and I said, Joe, can you handle this? She said, yes, sir, I can handle it. I said, you willing to learn? She said, yes, sir. Whatever, we can learn it. And I went on and took Joe out of the system here and took her home with me. And man, I made the right deal, man. I'm telling you, I made the right deal, man.
Yes,
I'm talking about a prayer.
Yeah.
I'm talking about somebody praying 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be in the house, and you don't know the in the house.
Yeah.
Never dip in your business. Me and my wife be talking, just smooth.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I was. You don't get in the madhouse. Say, you see some old clothes. You say, can I have them? I said, oh, Jesus. No. No, baby, I don't want you in there. I'm going to bring you away and get some new clothes, baby. Don't start taking my old stuff, because you're not going to be thinking on a level when you come here, I just leave it alone. Give me clothes. I better. You will never wear a new mantle. You will never wear a new mantle until you let go of the old cape of religion and tradition. We just got to talk about it, right? Look at 1 Samuel. We just got to talk about that. I ought to make my praises come to class. Because I want them to hear it. Because they got good talent, but they got to wait. You got to learn how to wait. You can't get excited and think you can do what a mantle is doing. Because you'll wake up to a great dream. Oh, yeah, this is a good one. This is a good one. In 1 Samuel 17:39, that's when David was facing Goliath. This is how you get killed, trying to use something you don't know how to use. Be trying to shoot the gun from a sword. Because you haven't proven them yet. You understand what I'm saying? He says, and David girded his sword upon his arm, and he said to go, for he had not proved it, that is. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with thee, for I have not proved them. And David took them all. If David would have went out with Saul's armor on, Goliath would have ate him alive. You see what I'm saying? You got to wait before you go out. Stick with what you got. Just stay in the background, say doob 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 doob. Stay in the background, doob 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 doob. Do you have a mic? No, I ain't got no mic. Doob 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 doob. Just be a good doober. You just stay in the background, man. Just say doob doob doob. Somebody got it going. When you stick with them, some what they got gonna get off on you. So doob them good. Stay right doob doob. Ha 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 ha. You want it? I ain't got to be the man this year. You got it. You getting it? That's why, and I'm going to say this, and I think I'm going to close. That is why, from 1 Samuel 17:39, you saw it, right? That is why sometimes God allows you to experience a season of feeling burnt out. A season in which nothing happened, causing frustration, desperation, dissatisfaction, to make you seek his face. Listen, I've been there many times. I've been there a thousand times. Lord, Lord, what up, Lord? I don't come out here and tell my ministry, you know, I've been rough. I come out here and never know nothing. It'd be some of my most powerful message when I come out here. But man, you got to be born. Nobody want this. A season of feel like you're burning out. A season where it seemed like nothing had happened. Come on. Anybody been there? Frustration, desperation, dissatisfaction to make you seek his face. Because if things keep going good, you ain't seeking no face. You ain't going to seek his face. Hallelujah. Then you become bait for the enemy. Watch this now. I'm going to say two things here. Some mantles have never been used because they don't submit to training. Let me say it another way. And I got this going right now, and I got to get it straight. Some mantle will never be used because they don't respect a higher mantle.
Yeah, right.
That have been through the thing. You just have been through the thing because you don't just get here.
Yeah, right.
You don't, can I say it again? You don't just get where I am.
Right.
You see how I float and how I deal with things? You don't just get here.
Right.
Boy, if you saw the journey,
right,
you might say, I don't want it. I don't know why people think they can see this and jump in it.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, Lord. You've been down more ditches and swamp with the mudfish, all kind of catfish, all kind of beating against your leg, all kind of stuff to get here. Because you can't stand this without that. See the process. The process. And it's just two words. The process and what was the other word? Progress, yeah. You see, you mess around trying to make progress without the process. The progress will kill you. What? Pride? Arrogant? Lord, don't include money. Oh, Jesus. I ain't going out there tonight. It's too cool. I ain't going to teach no school. I ain't got no more about 50 of them in the service. Let somebody else teach. I'm too big for that. No, you got to stay. You got to stay firm all the way through. This is a lifetime journey. And I love what I do. I love to come out here and teach you. Oh yes, absolutely. Because you part of my life. And then some mantle have never been used because they were rejected. Not received, rejected. Some mantle, wait a minute, see. Some mantle have never been used because they were rejected. The mantle you reject become the one that will judge you. If a person cannot receive from an anointing, it means that he is not ready to receive it. Now, the man who was talking to me about, he had the man preach that I rebuked or corrected. When my son talked to that man, he rejected my anointing. Now, my anointing has to judge him. I wouldn't want to be under that. Why? Because I've consecrated my life these 47 years. And I don't want to hurt nobody. But I'm definitely, if it's between you and the kingdom, I'm going to hurt you. You understand? That's my job. That's my job. Between doing what the kingdom said do, or letting you do what you want to do, no, it ain't going to work. You can get up the road. We're not going to work together the same road. That's why Paul sent that boy back. Barnabas was his cousin. Paul, who the hell, what that boy named Timothy? John Mark. No, Paul said, no. You went, you can't go with us. You went to sleep. You, when the thing got hot, you left us. No, man, you're not going out. Now look what he did. Circling took him back after he had passed the test. But very few, after you deal with them, want to walk with you anymore. Crazy thing. You try, somebody try to train you, you get all the time. Oh, I can do this. Where are they going? To another camp. Thinking the camp is the same camp. Camp that are bigger, not the same camp. Camp with more numbers, not the same camp. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. My God. You want to find a good fisherman, you're going to find him back there on the bayou. Not out there in a nice boat. You're going to find a fisherman, boy, who know how to fish and know how to get the fish. You find him out in the bar, he ain't got no boat. He got waders. He go out in the water. You go out in the boat, you come back, what y'all got? Nothing. This old boy got him on his back. You live next to him, you smell the fish. You got your big, you won't go out there and shoot that boat, you know. Hallelujah. Yeah, my God. What, 1 Chronicles 16:22, what it says? 1 Chronicles 16:22, what it says? I want y'all to be real mindful of this. Real mindful. What it says? What? What it says? And what else? See, he's talking about mantles and stuff there, you see. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophet no harm. The word touch here have a negative connotation. It indicate criticism, that you become an obstacle or harm. It also indicates that if anyone touched the anointed of God, they are touching God. Now, here, look at me, class. Let me give you some news. You are the anointed of God. You have to know that. See, because a lot of times people think when you talk about it, talking about the bishop. You know. No. You have to know, we started out of the scripture that God have anointed you. And people just can't be messing with you. No, Lordy, better not be messing with you. And then I'm going to close here. Then We'll talk about touching and anointing. We'll go back. We'll come back into that in our next session. But I want to just leave you with this. What I think the Lord gave me, it certainly helped me because I was hurting in some places at different times. But God said there's three kind of people can be in your ministry. Those that are not touched. They're just there. They're not touched. Then there are those who are touched, but they're not changed. The one who are changed, they'll be there with you through thick and thin. Even if somebody, you see, I want people, if somebody come out with a bad report on me, to know me enough to know they came out with a bad report. And know I have enough integrity to come myself and say, look, I made a mistake. I'll do it before I let somebody else come do it to them. Because that's our relationship. See, but I don't want no slew foot to come accuse us of something and come against the ministry, and then you get crazy. I don't know. Well, you don't know me? I had a man one time. I won't call him name because it's real sad. And I was talking to his wife, and I said to his wife, I said, you know me. I said, you know, they got in some dispute, you know, about the church. I said, man, you know me. I won't hurt you. Y'all know me. I've been around with y'all. And she walked on. Huh. And her husband said, oh, no, you know Leroy? You know his heart? You know, I'm almost telling who it is. You know his heart, don't you? And she's been down ever since. Now, I can't fully pray for her. Because if you reject my anointing. Now, think about this. Now, you're not in a condition that you can repent. That is terrible. That's in the grave before you die. Yeah, be mindful, children. It don't worth it just for that little feeling of declining or degrading somebody. Don't do that. It don't worth it. Your health mean too much. Your life mean too much. Your family. Just be nice. Let the love of God that been shed abroad in your heart. You know, be quick to repent if you feel like you've harmed somebody. You know, don't let nobody. I'm not. I'm like no wimp. You ain't gonna let nobody just mess over you. But if you can avoid it, just go ahead and avoid it. Let them go and live your life. All right? We'll get back. We'll talk some more about the anointing on our next section. God bless you.